Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Lakota, who is here to speak with us about his experience participating in the 15th annual Bridge Walk. Welcome, Lakota.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. I know we've given you a hard task to put into words something that's pretty hard to put into words.
Yeah, well, just trying to fit it all in 10 minutes, right? Because there's so much great stuff to say.
Exactly. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm so excited to be able to celebrate the Bridge Walk kind of retrospectively today, talking about it, right? It's just such a beautiful experience. My experience with Bridge Walk is that it is just pure goodness.
Yes.
There's just...
Yeah.
It's just so for the heart. It just fills the heart with joy. And it's so... I was just kind of before the call, I was just reflecting on the joy of participating wholeheartedly in something that is not, you know, for me, for ego, or you know, that kind of thing.
That's great. I love that.
It's amazing.
Participating, wholeheartedly in something that is not for ego. What a great opportunity.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's amazing. The Africa Vulnerable Children Project, and in particular, the fundraising part of it. Early on in practice, there was so much resistance to it. All different kinds. You know, I was like, I don't want to do a fundraiser. I can't ask people for money. And like, and then also there was this ego conversation kind of under the radar about like, well, I'm not really interested in this because what's in it for me kind of thing.
Yeah. and we don't see nothing. That, do we? Until we start really looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't see it until we start looking. And kind of what the heart answer was, there's nothing in it for me. There's nothing, in quotes, there's nothing in it for ego. And there's in because of that, there's everything in the heart.
Exactly. So when you just said that, well, the answer is there's nothing in it for ego. I just have this vision of like, oh, perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. And it's just amazing, you know, watching like, and then kind of overcoming that resistance and then finally being allowed to participate and starting the fundraiser. And doing that for a number of years before finally coming to the Bridge Walk in person, and then getting, being allowed to have that experience of showing up and fully participating in this thing that's so much bigger than, quote, me, so much, you know, it's just for the heart. It's just this beautiful act of love, and oh, my gosh. I mean, no wonder there's so much resistance. It's at this point,
truly,
my very favorite part of practice. I couldn't imagine missing a Bridge Walk. It's just beautiful.
So fun. And, you know, it's not like you live next door, just for the record, you know.
Right.
For people, you're not next door.
in a way that's part of the fun, too. It's like summer months are very, very busy for me, and it's kind of easy to be kind of pulled off a little bit. And having the fundraiser aspect of this thing going on, really committed to that in those busy summer months, it's kind of this, like, lifeline to practice, just, like, grounding me in practice and then building this, like, energy, this excitement that's all kind of building towards the Bridge Walk and coming together as a Sangha and celebrating in this way. It's just, I mean, it's amazing. And what a joy to put that effort and energy into making that happen and that commitment to show up on this part of, you know, this human being showing up. That's wonderful. And then seeing that mirror, like, oh, my gosh, such inspiration watching the people who've come from all over the world to attend and overcome all kinds of challenges to participate in fundraisers.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, two that I think of when you say that, Lakota, are there are a number of people at the walk this Saturday who came up and introduced themselves, and as soon as they open their mouths and say their name, you say, oh, I know exactly who you are.
Yeah.
But there are people who have been calling into the radio shows and practicing like crazy for years. One fellow for 10 years he's been out there practicing. And this was his first in-person event. You know?
Amazing. Just,
so much fun to hear people like that. And then the other one I thought of was a woman who has some physical challenges, so wasn't able to come with us. And so what she did is she found 15 bridges locally in her area to be photographed on for the 15th annual Bridge Walk.
Oh, my gosh.
and did a fundraiser around that.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just, yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, the commitment, the inspiration, there's no challenge that the heart can't overcome with that level of inspiration and love. And I love what you said too about getting to see, you know, putting a face to the voice that we hear on the radio show, and that's just so fun. And then seeing familiar faces and just all this love for Sangha, and then having this really fun opportunity to, you know, we're not at the monastery, we're in a public place, so the privileged environment looks a little bit different. And with the guide's great encouragement, I mean, the opportunity to practice this kind of practice interacting mindfully with present moment conversations in this kind of still in the privileged environment, but out in public, it's quite fun.
Yes, yes, quite fun, and such an amazing skill we can take with us into our lives everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was just thinking that. I mean, to be able to participate in conversations with that level of that mindfulness and that intention and staying keeping in the present moment, what a gift to everybody.
Yeah. Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. Yep. Yep.
And we could probably talk for the whole hour about how fun that day was. I mean, the weather, I couldn't believe that, and the drumming and singing and dancing. I mean,
yeah, and we do have to spend at least two sentences on the weather, right? Because
it was forecast to be pretty much like a hurricane.
I've never seen this particular sentence in a forecast before.
It said
90% drenching rain.
Oh my gosh.
In the afternoon,
right?
Beginning at noon, which was when the event started, which was at noon. And then we started down this road of trying to do all these things to accommodate the weather. And what Sherry said, it's not going to rain. Let's not do that. Let's put all our energy into no rain. So we put all our energy into no rain, and it didn't rain. It was actually, at many points, quite beautiful.
Quite beautiful. And it actually was kind enough to wait until we'd even finished packing and were on the road before it let loose. I mean, just amazing.
Yeah. And it did let loose.
Gosh. And then I've got to mention the singing and the dancing part. I mean, that was something I'd never experienced before. And I mean, wow, the energy freed up in that, and just the celebration, the experience of joy, and moving the body and making a joyful noise. You know,
we're joined by a amazing, talented woman who's actually part of the Sangha. She lives up in Canada, originally from Cameroon, and came down to do African dancing with us, and I'm right with you. It was so beautiful. And again, I was thinking about it when you were talking about Sherry's encouragement of how to be in the privileged environment together, and the same thing with the dancing. Wow, that's an amazing way to be with Sangha within the privileged environment, dancing together. It's just, it's very powerful.
So powerful. Yep. And so joyful. And so it's such a together experience, like you're saying. Yeah. And
I
don't need to be a somebody for any of that. That's kind of the joy of this whole thing. So it's like I was able to overcome resistance to fundraising by realizing it's not about me. When I'm asking people, inviting people to participate if they'd like to, it's not about me. It really helped to overcome that resistance. And then to really let go into the enjoyment of moving with the rhythm, none of that's about me either. And, nothing about the whole day has anything to do with, quote, me. So it just frees up the human being, that note of intelligence, to just move with the rhythm of life and to celebrate wholeheartedly.
Oh, what a great point. And, you know, it reminds me of something that Jackie, the woman who was leading us in the dancing, was saying on Saturday, of she can always tell who's dancing, right? In the sense of, am I up in conditioned mind attempting to be something, try to do something, be a certain way? And what you're saying is applicable to the whole thing of, as soon as we drop down into here, into this here now, and realize it isn't about me. It's about the rhythm of life and just being with what is. Participating, you know, with all of it can really be an opportunity to practice doing that, to practice just being in the rhythm of life.
Yeah. It doesn't get a whole lot better than that. And
I'm
already looking forward to next year.
me too. Oh, yeah. Me too. And so many things. And I'm sure we'll continue to do good news updates through the year as we do.
Yeah.
We're still counting all the, you know, people are doing fundraisers, sending them in. So, you know, we'll be talking about that, updating people on that. But just all the beautiful things that will happen in the project going forward as a result of everyone's efforts. It's so inspiring and exciting.
So inspiring and exciting. Yeah, and the day was so fun, and I received so much. You almost forget that, like, oh my gosh, we raised a bunch of funds for this incredible project, you know, and that's like, that happened too, and wow. And and then before I forget, just so much gratitude too for all the people who year after year after year behind the scenes show up to help make this thing happen.
I was just thinking that too. People that we don't even hear their voices. We don't even know they're back there.
Yeah.
You know, typing keys, pressing buttons, making phone calls, making arrangements, coordinating this, coordinating that.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. And then all of it, you know, that, I mean, the coordination that Ashwini does, you know, to pull it all together, to orchestrate people, and then all of it being overseen by Sherry and the exquisite guidance that we're all so blessed to have access to in this practice. It's just all of it's seamless and beautiful. Not to mention, we'll have to do another good news update on what the team in Cantalomba did on the day. You know,
yeah,
their beautiful celebration.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good through and through. And it takes
all of it. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you were right, Lakota. We didn't fit it all in 10 minutes, but we fit a lot of it. So.
Yeah, we got close.
we
Thanks
got close.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Okay. Take good care. All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Lakota. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. It was fun, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was great.
Hey, Michael, do you still have access to Jen? I was just wondering if she had a plan for telling everybody about the fundraising efforts, or if she's going to kind of keep us in guessing here until all of the – I mean, I know I have a workshop coming up this Saturday at Namaste, and all of whatever people donate there or pay to be there or however that goes is going to go to this project. And I know I've got a couple of donations that people have handed off to me to add to it. But I was just wondering if Jen had a plan for when she's going to or how she's going to tell us what happened.
Well, she's unmuted right now, so that's a good thing.
All right. Jen,
thanks,
you have
Michael.
A plan?
Sure.
So I suppose we can say what we raised as of the day, because that was a pretty impressive number, even as of the day.
Drum roll.
Yes, amazing.
With all of us there, everything that had been collected up to that point, which definitely is not everything, but up to that point it was?
$70,000.
70,000. $70,000 people have given.
People. You know, and
this
so
year.
Many of those donations are $25, $50, $100.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of participation.
That's a lot of participation. And then some people who made a decision to kind of save up all year and make this a really big donation, right?
Exactly. So, yeah.
You know, of a few thousand dollars, which is a lot of commitment to a project. So with all of us giving the very best that we could give, 70,000 on the day and counting. So at some point down the road, I bet when is it finished, Jen? When do we say, okay, that's the that's the campaign for this year. When does that happen?
We'll certainly take it through the end of October because I know there are people who still have fundraisers on the schedule, on their own calendars. And usually what will happen is, exactly, you are one.
And Jenny and Paul at Namaste Day, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And this is actually a good opportunity to say this in this venue, so thank you for that, which is to say to people, if you, for whatever reason, weren't able to put yours on the calendar in October or before October, to let us know. So that we can, know that that's still coming in to the 2016 numbers, because we'd be, thrilled to know that. And one other thing, Sherry, that just reminded me when you were saying that's so inspiring to me, when you were talking about the saving up for, $1,000, $2,000, is there are quite a number of people who are not even necessarily people who do a lot with us in other ways during the year, but they've either found us directly or they're a friend of someone who's in the Sangha. And because of how direct our project is, how close we are to it, and how much people can know that the funds that are going there, they know exactly where the funds are going and where the funds aren't going, right? That there are a lot of people who have made the project in Cantalumba their main, quote, charity, if you will, that that's the place they choose to do their annual giving. So I always find that really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, of course, we remained committed to taking really good care of their hard-earned money that they pass along to us. And I know you have a lot of really good stories about what the folks there in Cantalumba are doing that they see and are the recipients of the tremendous generosity on this side of the ocean. And they are taking that attitude of mind of generosity and giving into the rest of Cantalumba. And they're inspired increasingly to do for others in that community what we are doing with them. And so bringing more people in that we would not commit to necessarily, but they are committing to. Which I just find extraordinary.
Yep. I suppose gratitude wants to give, huh?
Gratitude wants to give. I would say that that's the case. All right. So along about Thanksgiving or what's that other Halloween?
Halloween.
You'll be giving us the final total for all that we've been able to achieve up through this campaign.
We sure will, and we'll get, in some form, we will get photos from we'll try to get some photos from our walk, but especially from the celebration that the folks did on October 15th in Cantalumba, because they just went all out. So we'll make sure to get that out to folks so they can see that, too.
Great. All right. Thank you so much, Jen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. That was great, Sherry. Wonderful.
Yeah. And I'm hoping somebody who came back to the monastery with us after the bridge walk is going to come on and talk about how the extraordinary adventure continued through the weekend. So you were going to say, Michael.
I was just going to say that Jen made a really excellent point there about how transparent and direct the project is. I mean, short of being there in person, you can get on the web and pretty much know everything about what we're doing and the names of the people that we're working with and, see them and know them. It's amazing.
Yeah, and see what they say back to us about what's happening with them. The thing that Jen read to us from the journalist. The young woman who is doing the pictures and the captions on the pictures from Cantalumba and who has an ambition to be a journalist. And, we can be in direct relationship with her and with everybody else that she's reporting on. So it's really quite fun.
Yes. And when you told us at the Bridge Walk that they were doing their own charitable work, I mean, wow, yeah. They have gotten the spirit of the project. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, it's unbelievable. It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, people who are coming from a place of, Mother Teresa would call them the poorest of the poor, and coming from that place to an attitude of wanting to give and wanting to share what they have received with others that they can obviously see are less fortunate than themselves, because they are exactly where they used to be before Living Compassion, and their involvement, it has potential for a transformation of the entire world, right? It's such evidence. And I was talking with somebody, I can't remember who, about this, but the attitude that so many people in working with the less privileged around the world, this attitude of, we're going to come in there, we're going to put in wells, we're going to put in this, we're going to put in that, and in 5 years they're going to be on their own and they'll be self-sustaining and we'll move on to the... And it's just turned out to be so obviously not the way it works. And what I was comparing it to was us in practice. You know, if we made all of this stuff available, you know, here we are, here's practice, all right, folks, it's available to us for 5 years, and then after 5 years, we're on our own. There's going to be no more support because the support is going to move on to a different group of people for another 5 years. I mean, how many of us would have made it, right? And so
yes.
What we know is, no, we need endless support every day
yes.
to try to stay present and focused and committed to the lives that we can see for ourselves. When we come back to center, we realize, oh, yes, okay, this is possible and all that, and then we go unconscious, right? And if there isn't that that structure that we can turn to when we come to again, we would just be lost. And so knowing that and projecting that onto everybody else, because we are certainly not that different from anybody else, then we can see that, well, no, of course that's not going to work. Of course it's not going to. It's silly, in fact. So we're going to swoop in to this place where people are living in mud huts with absolutely nothing, and in 5 years we're going to turn them into a self-sustaining community. Really? Where did that idea come from? So I'm glad that we're not... expected to do that in our own lives, and we're certainly not going to expect it of anybody else, because we all need assistance and support to stay present and centered and going in the direction, as Lakota said, you know, of just goodness, right? Kindness and goodness. That's the direction that we're all going in, and we all need support and assistance every single day of our lives. Let's face it, all day long. Right?
Amen, sister.
Yeah. It's just silly to think that anything else is possible. Never has worked, and I would guess it never will work, because what we're up against is huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Thanks for that, Fervorino.
Mm.
That was great.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump into our announcements here, Sherry.
All right, great. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Join you, Sherry, for an enjoyable, interactive workshop debunking the age-old myth of too busy, not enough time. This
mm-hmm.
workshop will be held this Saturday, October 22nd, at the beautiful Namaste Retreat Center in Felton, California, which is right near Santa Cruz in the
mm-hmm.
Bay Area. And all proceeds and donations will benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And you, Sherry, will guide participants through a fun and profound email class on communication beginning October 25th.
Yep.
The class is an opportunity to discover your style of communication and become aware how the ego orientation models connection.
I think it's going to answer a lot of questions for all of us.
Oh, great.
Why does it keep going that way.
Yes.
You mean, why does my life continue going in the way that it does? Is that what you mean?
Yes. Yes. How come no matter what I do, things keep turning out the same way? Could it be, yes, perhaps I have a part that I'm playing in that. And, of course, when we get to see what that is, then now we're at choice about it, right?
Yes. Yes. And finally, the practice weekend coming up October 28th through 30th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center is an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and participate in the monastic schedule. From Friday evening group with the guide to Sunday morning group with the community, participants enjoy support for deepening practice in the peace and beauty of the monastery.
Yes.
And the weekend includes guidance with you, Sherry, or Ashwini.
Yes, and it is beautiful. If we thought it was beautiful before, there's nothing like a good shower to just bring out the best in everything. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yes. And so for these and other opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think we're ready here, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Cherie from Austin. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great. And you?
Doing fine. $70,000.
What have you been up to?
There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat a couple of weeks ago. And I told my inner child that she could tell me anything because she's just been kind of frozen silent for so long. So I told her she could tell me anything. And so I've been sort of deluged with memories and emotions. And there's a lot of trauma and some good stuff. And it feels like the child seems to be the holder of all these memories and emotions. Does that sound accurate, or am I believing something that's being told to me?
Well, that's such a good question. And of course, the really good answer is, well, gosh, we don't know. But we do know some places to look, right? So one of the things that in my experience over the years doing this work that I have seen over and over and over is that children, and this is confirmed by a lot of other people, okay, it's not just me, but children can go through some ungodly experiences. If they have an opportunity to be out of that situation, they're very happy to be out of that situation and to be having a different life experience. So what often happens is, so the child is going along and something horrible happens. And the child is upset, traumatized. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Okay, it's not that we would ever deny that terrible things happen to children. But the thing that's important to remember is that the terrible thing is perceived differently from a small child than from an adult. So, for instance, very often, children who are experiencing abuse will perceive abuse as love because the person that they look to for love is the person who is doing that. So for an adult, the difference between abuse and love is very clear. Okay? From a centered place, it's probably perceived slightly differently, but for an adult, it's obvious. You know, beatings, sexual relations, emotional abuse, that sort of thing, is not the same as love. So we have an idea of what a loving environment is for a child, but the child is not perceiving it from that perspective. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, I see that.
So there's a next step. So let me finish the next step, and then we can get back to your experience. So what tends to happen, no matter whether it's something that somebody else might not ever identify as abuse, or it's such hideous abuse that everybody would agree that is a truly horrible level of abuse. What tends to happen is the moment after whatever it is, a survival system is put in place. And that survival system, essentially, so you mentioned a child. So the child is 4 years old when whatever trauma happens. At 4 years and 1 minute, a survival system is put in place. And that survival system at 4 years and 1 minute did not actually experience the trauma. And that survival system is surviving that trauma. In other words, if we were to put it into language, the survival system says, that happened to you, kid. That didn't happen to me, and it's never going to happen to me. Okay? So there goes 4 years and 1 minute. And then at 4 years and 6 months, that child, that survival system, experiences another trauma, and there's another split. And that continues and continues and continues until we get to somebody who is now completely identified with the survival system and tells the story of what happened. But there's nothing in that survival system that actually was there for any of the trauma that makes up the story that's being told. Now, the application for us to all of that is that very often what masquerades as a child is that survival system telling the story, because that's the way to continue to get all of the attention. And the way we can tell the difference as practitioners is that the legitimate child who had the trauma wants to be taken out of that trauma, not kept in it. So that child is not interested in continuing to tell that story or listen to that story, which would be more accurate, and to be left in that place. That child wants to be taken out of that experience and brought into the present, where potential for happiness and love and care and kindness exists. It will never exist for that child if left on the other side of a survival system.
I see. That really answered a lot of questions. Thank you. So, since it sounds like this deluge of memories and emotions may well be that survival system. So how am I to be with all that as it comes
okay.
up?
Yes.
What's the best way to practice?
Say it again?
What's the best way to practice with that?
Okay. So Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who you may remember, said that a genuine emotion lasts about 20 seconds. Now, this is one of those places where I think, wow, how do people know these things, right? But that's what she said. And, of course, she worked with thousands and thousands of people through the death and dying process. Somebody just gave me a different number for it, and I don't know where they got that either. But it was also a very small number that of the genuine emotion. And what they were describing is, so a memory drops in, and you might also enjoy looking into some of the research that's being done on memory and how accurate memory probably is or isn't, which I think fits in beautifully with the, you know, the Buddha's take on the survival stories, right? On how ego and karma conditioning kind of mushes things around to fit a particular orientation. But anyway, so a memory drops in, and so that's a thought, right, in your head, and mm-hmm. you can feel a sensation in the body that accompanies it. Does that fit with your experience?
Yes.
Yeah. And so when there's that sensation, there's another, often there's an emotional reaction that goes with that. And then there's another story. So there's a memory, there's a sensation. It's like I just got kind of kicked in the belly. And the label is sad. And then there's the story that will start in immediately with, oh, that was awful and that's so sad. And then it's a, kind of a domino effect, right? And that ties in with other, it connects up with, and that happened, and that happened, and that happened, and that happened, and that happened. And, of course, before long, I'm just I'm in a puddle somewhere, right? Because this is just all so sad and depressing and overwhelming, and I just don't know what to do with it. But if we stayed with the experience, all that happened is there was a memory and there was a sensation in the body. So if we stay with that, then what we can go to is, the kind of response that would happen. So if we're together, and you said, oh, my gosh, this image just, because it's really, that's what happened, right? This image just dropped in, or this image just came up, or however, this image just appeared in my mind of da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, wow, it was like being kicked in the solar plexus. And I would say, oh, gosh, I'm sorry that happened. But what I'm expressing my emotion about is that's happening to you now. It's not about that the story that goes with that image that came into your conscious awareness. Okay? Because I don't have access to all of the meaning that arrives when that image comes to you. That's all happening in a conditioned reality that I don't have access to, and neither do you until you go down the road of, and that means that, and there's that, and that's and that happened, and there's that, and that means that, and that, because of that, and if that hadn't happened, then, which you would have a really difficult time parsing. But the feeling that comes with it is what you respond to, and you're trained to have a label that goes with that.
I see. Yeah, and I know that I'm supposed to shift the attention from the stories and the thoughts, and that would include the memories, to the
energy that's happening now in the body. And yet I still get overwhelmed and forget to do that.
Yeah, we do. We do, which is why we call this practice, right? So here's what I would encourage, and I don't know if anybody else has, but it's my best offer. Okay, so you mentioned that you're in touch with your childhood and the traumatic things that happened there, right? And so my encouragement would be to, is there an age or is it kind of various ages?
It seems to be mostly around, say, 3 to 7 years old.
Okay. So if we were, a three-year-old is really dicey, right? Because they're not that verbal. They're difficult to have much of an intellectual relationship with, but certainly we can have a presence relationship. And so 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I don't know how much time you have in your day for this kind of thing, but you'll be able to look at that. So there's a period of time where you spend in relationship with that three-year-old. So you might go with a three-year-old. they like to just go outside and kind of they're a lot like dogs in this, that they're really fascinated by everything they run into, right? And so they want to pick it up and look at it and play with it and that sort of thing. They like swings and things like that. And so you might spend some of your time out like that in nature. And you can be in conversation with that three-year-old part of yourself, okay? And you're just going around and you're looking at things and maybe you get on the swings or you find a slide to go down or whatever, okay? And then there's the four-year-old, and you get a sense of that four-year-old. What did you like to do when you were 4 years old? What does a four-year-old find fun? And so for half an hour or so on a given day, you spend doing that, okay? And you're in relationship with that four-year-old in the way the four-year-old would have liked somebody to be in relationship with her, okay? And 6 and 7. Did we leave out 5? Yes, we left out 5, okay? And so probably after a little while, you'll realize that it doesn't really matter so much the age or what she would like to do because, you know, when you're 7, it's as much fun to just be out adventuring as it is when you're 3. And emotionally, the demands are kind of the same. You know, you want a lot of attention. You want somebody big to give you that attention, to listen to you, to talk with you, to play with you, just to be with you. And that's what you start doing. And that is your way of bringing the authentic child who was the recipient of these traumas into now to be healed instead of left there behind a story about what happened.
That really makes a lot of sense, yeah. And I'm going to listen
because,
to this over and over again.
Okay. Well, because, you know, if you think of, at least for me, when I was a kid, I mean, I can remember, and probably you can too, but having things happen, and they happen, but I don't want to, I, as that kid, don't want to think about them. I don't want to do that. I don't want people to ask me about it or talk to me about it. That's not what I want to do. I want to do something else. That was not fun. That was not interesting. That was not exciting, right? That was unpleasant. It was hard. I didn't like it, right? So, for instance, I was not the kind of kid that wanted somebody to say, so how was school today? Because I hated it. I hated it. So when I got out of school, I wanted to go do something that was fun. And it's kind of, I think it's kind of like that, right? That child doesn't want to talk to you about those awful things that happened to her. She wants to be with you now and have the love she wasn't feeling then. And that survival system is not going to like the change in that relationship because it's getting a lot of mileage out of that story.
Wow, absolutely. Wow, this is really helpful. I really appreciate it.
Well, I hope you'll let me know how it goes, okay?
Yes. And by the way, congratulations on the 70,000 plus.
Yes! Isn't that amazing?
That's
awesome. That's a lot of kids to feed and educate.
Oh, that's
and you know,
so awesome.
That is such a great connection. Thank you for that. That's the perfect connection. Now, those kids started out starving, dirty, and hopeless, right? Because that was what was ahead for them. You know, every day was an adventure of not enough to eat and not a lot going on. And now these kids are eating and they're going to school and they have a future that they are working toward right now. They do not want to sit around and talk about how hopeless their life was before because they're on their way.
That's perfect.
It is perfect.
That is really
thank
going
you
to help
that.
Me to remember. Oh, thank you. And anyway, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. I'm delighted to be able to talk to you.
Yes, I love it. I'm glad. I'm so glad we had this conversation. Yeah, and
Thank you. And I
do truly want to know how that little girl does as she moves into your life and takes the position that she deserves, right? Because who she is, has never been harmed. Who she is has never been damaged at all. The authenticity that she started out with, the innocence, the sweetness, the goodness is intact. And that's what you're going to welcome into your life. It's going to be a beautiful thing.
Perfect. Perfect.
I'm excited
for
you.
I just have to go to that and not have to go through all the other stuff.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Michael. And thank you, Sangha. This is great. I appreciate it.
All right. Take good care. Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Cherie. That was an amazing conversation, Sherry. Very lovely.
It was.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. We went a little over our 5 minutes. I think it was important. I think it's an important place for all of us to explore.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what dropped in right near the end of that conversation was to focus on what's working.
Yes.
And that's what I was getting out of your conversation.
Yes. Yes, exactly so. Exactly so. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because
that
habit that conditioning has just about everybody in of all of these things are good. You know, even in the most dismal circumstances for anybody, there is goodness. And we are talked out of focusing on that, on the goodness, on, as you say, on what's working in order to focus on the negative, which is, of course, the ego and the illusion of being separate from life, to focus on that. And by the time we're adults, we can be talked into just missing huge, huge amounts of goodness and beauty and kindness and love and care to focus on these really not very big and often, or almost always, not current and not present difficulties.
Exactly so. Exactly so.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's next?
We are going to break here and hear from our coaching program, Sherry, and then we will be right back.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then Programs to find Zen Awareness Coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
Very good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Barbara.
Hello, Barbara. Where are you from?
Hi,
Barbara?
I'm from New York.
From New York?
Yeah, and I want to tell you how happy I am. I've tried to get through at least three times, and so I'm very honored. I had called a while ago. I was having problems with a habit, not being able to stop. And I just wanted to fill you in that
good.
I stopped. Yeah. What happened is I got, this is terrible, I got carpal tunnel and tendonitis, and I had to rest my hands and take care of them. And you know, there's a part of me that feels that this may be conditioning, that I couldn't stop on my own, so I had to create something really drastic to get me to stop.
And is that okay with you?
Well, I don't know if I have a choice.
But I mean, I project that you're seeing this as a positive, even though much of, that would be a hard case to make to a lot of people. But you're seeing that the net result is the benefit you were seeking.
Yes. Yes. It really taught me to just be still.
You know I love that, Barbara. You know I do.
Thank you. Thank you. I said that I needed to call you to kind of like get some kind of, I guess, closure in a way on this, that that it's such a drastic thing, you know. There are so many different ways that you can stop a bad habit to get carpal tunnel and tendonitis, I don't think, and in both hands, by the way. I don't think that would be the routine way to want to go about this.
That's right. However, we have a kind of a violent little image in our practice that fits, and that it, what we say is we get hit alongside the head with the size board we need. Yeah? So what we know about ourselves when we're honest and not with any self-hate at all, not a bit of self-hate, but just honesty, we realize that we have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be different, to make a different choice, and we don't take it. And then at a certain point, we don't have a choice any longer. Now, if we're, I don't know what word we would use, if we're fortunate, if we're lucky, if we're whatever, we will see exactly what you're seeing, that no, this is not actually the way I would have wished that it would go, but it is giving me what I want. And so if this is what it takes, then this is what it takes. and I can say thank you.
Well, that's perfect.
And life, as far as I can tell, life is always going that way for us. But we're so stubborn. You know, we are. We all are. And it's like, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care. I'm going to make it work my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to be me no matter what. And we just, you know, we just get to that brick wall that we can't get through. We have to let go. And then we realize, wow, letting go feels a whole lot better than stubbornly clinging to ego.
Wow. So in this whole process of healing, it's kind of like where do you go, you know? I mean, I'm not going to walk around with these braces on my hands forever, and I'm thankful that I don't need to get an operation on my hands. But I guess since I've been so used to being like, compulsive with my hands and doing, that it's so hard to, once the braces come off and I don't have to do the same, just to experience life without that ego of, I must accomplish, I must do.
Yeah. I have a similar situation. A number of years ago, I had Graves' disease, which is hyperthyroidism. And it's brought on simply from being crazy, you know, from just going and going and going and going and going and going and going. Even, you know, no matter how tired the body is, no matter just pushing and pushing and pushing, because, you know, I had a lot of stuff to do. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to do. You know, I was doing everything. Well, heck, I'm a spiritual teacher. So, you know, it was all really good stuff that I was doing, which it was. But it was doing it at a too big a cost for my body. And so my thyroid went crazy, and I had a choice, either to stop doing that or on my own to choose to stop living that way or to have my thyroid removed, which would have put me in a position to stop living that way. And I made the choice that I wanted to do it on my own. And over the years, I've watched, you know, when I start getting too out there, just going too hard and going too fast, and I can feel that it starts getting a little wonky, and I know I've got to stop. Right? I've got to slow down. I've got to quit doing that, or I'm going to pay the big price. And I bet the same thing is going to happen to you. You know, you're going to realize that if you don't choose you, then there are going to be consequences where you will choose you will be chosen for you, right?
I hear you. Yeah, it's kind of like the biggest blessing.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah,
because
exactly so.
You have to choose. Yeah.
You have to choose you. Depression has always been that for me. I mean, it's just people's worst nightmare. But I've since I started awareness practice, I've always seen it as a gift, because if I don't take care of myself, depression will get me. It will. It's a result of not taking care of myself, of not doing the things that I need to do to stay conscious and present. Right? So those two things, between depression and a thyroid that, you know, is devoted to keeping me on track, my practice chugs right along.
Well, I want to thank you. I will be listening to this recording a lot.
Good. And make some recordings. You know, talk to yourself a lot, because even though, you know, your hands aren't, you can still press that record and play button, right? And so lots of recordings that remind you of what a gift this is and what you've learned, what you're committed to, and how you want to be in your life going forward, so that you have all the support you need. And remember, we're here for support too.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You are so welcome, Barbara.
You're
welcome.
The biggest blessing in my life. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. Another great conversation, Sherry. That was wonderful.
We're lucky, aren't we? We're so fortunate.
We are so lucky. Amazing. And we're lucky to have another caller here, too.
Yes, we are. Although you and I could talk for the next 10 minutes or so, that would be a problem. But, yes, I'm glad to have another caller.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Vanessa from North Carolina.
Oh, hello, Vanessa. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you.
What's going on?
Well, let's see. What's going on? Well, I really appreciated the last couple of conversations, and in particular the last one about the getting hit by the thing that the right size 2x4, or I guess it's not a 2x4, but whatever it is that you need to...
Whatever that board is that you need, right?
Right. Yeah, I had... I guess one of the struggles or opportunities in my life is my relationship with my daughter, and just found out tonight that she had been cutting herself. And so, so it feels like a big, it sort of felt like, oh, not okay, but like, all right, you know, we'll deal with this. And then ego started like, jumping in on it and knowing what was going to happen and how we were going to deal with it or not deal with it and all that stuff. So it's just, I just see that it's a, it's just a huge opportunity, and I hope that I can stay in that place.
Because you're seeing both sides of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing the, okay, all right, we have this situation, and it's big, and the commitment to being present as life guides you through that. And then you see what egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate adds to the program.
Mm-hmm.
How to take this and use it for the maximum suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which is exactly that. It's just for the maximum suffering. And then it turns it all against me, which is exactly where I don't need to be.
That's exactly right.
For the situation, for her, for myself, for my husband, all of that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And that is so wise, okay, because we are heavily trained that no matter what happens, we turn to ego to make it all about me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So here I have this child, and she's in this situation, which is obviously a really difficult, painful situation for her. Now I'm going to make it all about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What did I do? This, that, and the next thing. How is it that, is it my own? Anyway, whatever. We all know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. What did I do wrong? Let's review her entire life.
Right.
And so that all of my attention is inside my conditioned mind instead of being present to here we are. What now?
What now? Yeah.
Yeah. And so what are you seeing as what now?
Well,
how old is she, by the way, Vanessa? How old is she?
She's 12. She's just going to turn 13.
What a hideous age.
Oh, I know. It really is.
I can't believe people who say, oh, those are the best years of your life. I don't know. They must have been on better drugs than I was on. Because those were definitely not the best years of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we just came from a meeting with her teachers yesterday where she's doing great and she's really popular and her grades are awesome. And then this. Mm-hmm. So it's, So I think lots of recordings and two-handed recordings with a mentor just to... just to see what will drop in and mm-hmm. really trying to give I guess just when I'm with her, just give her her attention, just be present there, just be present.
Yes. I would think. And Vanessa, do you think she would be open to that? In other words, if she had, say, somebody to teach her recording and listening who wouldn't talk to her parents about what they talked about, would she be open to something like that, do you think?
I think she would. I think she would. She's talked to someone before, and it seemed really helpful. Yeah. Yeah,
well, maybe to consider that because, mm-hmm. You're realizing how helpful that would be to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have somebody who would help, of course, that's my dream for recording and listening, that kids would be so accustomed to it that by the time they hit those grisly preteen and teenage years, they already, it's established. They know the mentor. They know they have somebody to talk to. They know they have access to a non-judgmental, unconditional, loving place to, be however they are and say whatever they need to say. But even though she didn't come up with that, she might be open to it now.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, I've given her a recorder and we've sort of talked about it, but not lately. So definitely.
Well, you might check it out with her. We have a recording and listening trainer who kind of specializes in that age group, and is just a wonderful energy person and very dialed in to young people. So, run it past her, and if she is open to it, then I would certainly set that up so that the two of them could talk. And again, it's the same as when she talks to a therapist or whomever. It's all in confidence. So you're never going to know what happened unless she has something that she tells you.
Right.
And, we all need that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. I didn't know that that was available.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah. So anyway, you can check it out with her. And if she knows how important that is with you, for you, if you can be honest about, gosh, this is, this is a really hard place for me, as your mother, because I love you so much and I don't know how to be. And so this is something that I do to try to, to be able to be present and compassionate and not not make it about me, and to honor and respect you and where you are in your life and what you're doing. And so it's what I do. If that would be, you know how to present it to her.
Yeah. Well, that was one of the sort of the things that I was wondering about, was like, how much do I tell her about my own stuff, my own feelings of self-hate or whatever, the voices that I listen to of, ego, and that I don't know what she's going through, but do I say that, or is that scary, or is she, I don't know. So.
Well, I'm going to guess that you're going to be able to work this out with the mentor.
Mm-hmm.
To get to a place of clarity about that, rather than me projecting. But for you to talk about what goes on with you, I'm just such a big fan of that. I think if parents or adults, just adults, would talk about what goes on with us,
and let kids learn about processing that way instead of us trying to tell them what they should be doing and, you know, how life works and that sort of thing, I think they would be much more receptive because, you know, because it's easier to learn about a process if we're watching and hearing somebody else go through it. So, you know, if I'm a kid and maybe I don't have a forgiveness issue in my life, but I've watched my parents go through situations where they get upset with somebody or they get their feelings hurt, and I watch them deal with it in a way that shows me how I can be when that happens to me, because it will, right? Instead of us lecturing them about how they should do it after they've watched us be very unskillful in similar situations. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a don't do as I do as I say, which is very popular in parenting and just flat out doesn't work.
Right.
Because kids always do what we do and almost never what we say. So, and so much of it, of course, will depend on the relationship that you have with her. You know, if she would be, if she's used to hearing you talk about how you are and what you're feeling about something, then she'll be, she'll be able to hear it without taking it personally, making it about her. But, you know, if it comes across as, oh my God, I'm so upset and now the voices of self-hate are trying to kill me because I'm a bad mother, then there's probably just be guilt on top of whatever else is going on with her.
Right.
Which is different from, you know what, I'm in this situation, you know, everybody thinks parents know what they're doing, but often we don't, and this is one of those, so this is what I do to support myself and try to get back to a centered place so, you know, so I can come from compassion and be available to you as best I can and, you know, that sort of thing.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, let me know if I can assist in any way.
Okay.
Yeah, so good luck, Mom.
Yes, thank you. All right, good night.
All right, take care, Vanessa.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Vanessa. Another great conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, boy, life is big, isn't it?
Life is big.
It really is. And here we are just kind of, I just think it's the most important thing to remember that we're doing our best to get through it as best as we can, that we're always doing our best. And, of course, the voices are going to want to point out endlessly that actually we're not, that we did know better and so we could have done better. And that's just the biggest lie ever. In every single moment, we're doing the best that we can do. And oftentimes, of course, life gives us information so that we can do better next time, and we just need to be in a place of humility and gratitude for receiving that, and no reviews about anything that happened before we got that new information. So.
Yes, yes, and thank goodness we have each other and this show to support us.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Essential.
So. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. So appreciate it.
Thank you, Sherry. It was wonderful.
Talk to you next week, if not before.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Good night.
Good night.